Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Well, it's just about summer, so if you haven't already, it's time to get off Netflix, slather on the sunscreen, and get outside. But when you do, keep in mind that not all sunscreens are created equal. Tricia Calvo is the deputy content editor for Consumer Reports. They discovered that nearly half of the sunscreen products they tested failed to live up to their SPF claims, and that so-called natural sunscreens are the least likely to offer adequate sun protection. Tricia, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So you've been testing sunscreens for about 4 years now, that's right?
We've actually been testing sunscreens longer than that, but the reason why we looked at 4 years of our data this year was because that was when the FDA had changed their sunscreen regulations.
I see. So how many did you test in these past 4 years, and what have you found?
Over the past 4 years, we looked at 104 products in all. We looked at sprays, lotions, sticks, the different kinds of sunscreens, and we found that 52% of them met their SPF claim overall, but 48% did not. And when we looked specifically at the chemical sunscreens, 58% of them met their SPF claim, but looking at the mineral sunscreens, which are sometimes called natural, with zinc oxide or titanium dioxide as the active ingredient, just 26% met their SPF claim.
So why would those be worse? And what is a mineral sunscreen or natural sunscreen versus the chemical ones?
The mineral sunscreens are sometimes called natural because zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are the active ingredients as opposed to a chemical like avobenzone. Why there's a difference in the performance between the two, we're not really sure, but we have consistently found that over the past 4 years of our testing.
And these so-called natural ones or the mineral ones, these are the sort of sunscreens of old, you know, the stuff that leaves a kind of white, greasy residue, right?
Yeah, they're the ones, you know, the zinc oxide is the old lifeguard's white nose. They've changed in recent years to be more transparent so they don't go on with that white globiness. That may be a reason why they don't protect as well, but we really just don't know.
Is there any reason to be concerned that the chemicals that are in the more effective sunscreens, avobenzene, is that one of them you said?
Avobenzone.
Do those pose any health risks? Because I'm guessing for folks who are maybe attracted to the natural stuff, maybe that's the concern, is that they don't know about these chemicals?
Well, the first thing you should know is that the mineral sunscreens really aren't all that natural because it's not like they've just grabbed, you know, the minerals from the ground and melted them into a sunscreen. You know, they have been processed and refined in a laboratory. But also the risk of getting skin cancer and premature aging, skin damage from not using sunscreen far outweighs any risk from the chemicals or from mineral sunscreens. There have been some animal studies that have shown some hormonal disruptions with some of the chemical active ingredients, but there haven't been any studies in people. And we know the risk of not protecting your skin against the sun.
So how did you, at Consumer Reports, test for SPF? I mean, obviously, you didn't just put on the sunscreen, lay on the beach, and hope you didn't get burned.
No, and we didn't go to Tahiti either, unfortunately.
Yes. But too bad.
What happens is it's in a laboratory. People actually come to the laboratory. They have sunscreen applied in a very specific grid on their back, and it's all blinded, so neither the person nor the person applying the sunscreen knows what product they're using. Then the people sit in a tub of water for 80 minutes, which is the time that most sunscreens claim to be water resistant. Afterwards, they're exposed to some UV light in those specific areas. The people go home, then they come back the next day and trained laboratory experts look at their back and judge it for redness, and that's how they determine the SPF.
Wow. Now, is that a similar process that companies who are making these sunscreens would also use? I mean, what kind of oversight is there?
Well, sunscreen manufacturers, obviously the FDA requires them to meet their SPF claims. I can't really say why our tests differ from what the manufacturers say that they have found, but the FDA doesn't require the sunscreen manufacturers to submit their test results. They only require to have them on hand in case the FDA wants to look at them. And also, the sunscreen manufacturers only test their sunscreens when the product is new or if it has been reformulated, not necessarily consistently throughout the production process. process over the next couple of months, years, or whatever. And we have seen that this just happens consistently. And at Consumer Reports, we sent all of our test results to the FDA, and we've asked them to take a closer look.
It was pretty scary. At least one of the ones that you tested, I think, was marketed for kids. It was over 30 SPF, and it had less than 8, I think, when you tested it?
Yeah, we found 2 lotions, and they happened to be the mineral-based lotions. The one was Banana Boat Kids Tear-Free Sting-Free Lotion SPF 50, and the other one was CVS Kids Sun Lotion SPF 50. And they did, in our tests, test in an SPF of 8.
Wow. So given all this, what does Consumer Reports recommend for beachgoers this year in terms of sun protection? What should people be looking for, and how should they be doing things maybe differently?
Well, when it comes to buying sunscreen, we suggest that you pick one of the recommended 17 that we have because we know that they work well and they provide excellent protection. But if you can't find one of those, looking at all of our 4 years of data, we determined that you have the best chance of getting a sunscreen that will give you at least an SPF of 30 if you look for a chemical sunscreen that lists an SPF of 40 or higher. So, for example, if you had a 40 that tested at a 35, it's not meeting its SPF claim, but it's still giving you good sun protection.
Right. And dermatologists recommend an SPF of at least 30. Is that correct?
They do. And, you know, part of the reason for that is because people tend not to apply sunscreen the right way in the first place, and then they don't reapply as often as they should. So no matter what sunscreen you're using, it's really important to use enough. So if you're looking at a lotion, it's about a golf ball size for your whole body if you were in a shorts or a bathing suit. And to reapply it every 2 hours or right when you get out of the water, even if the product says it's water resistant.
Kind of a golf ball. It's kind of hard to imagine a golf ball of sunscreen.
Yeah, maybe a shot glass is a better shot glass full. Does that help?
Yeah, make
a little bit more visual for you.
Sure. Yeah. I read that in 1999, the FDA tried to get all sunscreens over 30 SPF to be labeled as SPF plus. I guess they were arguing that an SPF over 30 doesn't necessarily provide you with a lot more protection, and people were getting a false sense of security and then maybe not reapplying or not putting enough on.
Right.
Do you think there's truth to that, that at some point you're not necessarily getting better sunscreen?
All things being equal, if you had a sunscreen that you used properly and that lived up to its SPF claim, there is not a lot of difference in protection between an SPF 30 and an SPF of 100. I think the SPF 30 may give you around 96-97%. It blocks 96% or 97% of the sun's UVB rays, which are the ones that cause burning, and that's what SPF is a measure of. And an SPF of 100 blocks 99%. So there's no sunscreen that blocks 100%. But that means, you know, if you're using everything properly and it lives up to its claim.
Well, Tricia, thanks so much for clearing up these issues.
Thank you.
Tricia Calvo is the deputy content editor for Consumer Reports, which recently published some guidelines on which sunscreens are living up to their claims, which ones are not, what you can do to be smarter about sun exposure. And you can find a link to that full report in the list of sunscreens that did make the cut at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks for your listening time today. There's much more to explore at wordofmouthradio.org. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio, and on Twitter, @wordofmouth. We always welcome your feedback, your comments, or your funny pet gifts. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Molly Donahue, Logan Shannon,
and Jimmy Gutierrez.
Our senior producer is
Taylor Quimby,
and our executive producer is Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.